and welcome to World of Podcast, your World of Warcraft podcast. I got a big show for you today. It's patch show 5. This is for patch 2.3. Maybe I should actually just go to like a regular numbering system. I don't know. But, big show. Lots to talk about. Plenty of changes. We're also going to talk a little bit about what's upcoming in patch 2.3.2. Not a whole lot, just a few little changes that I felt like mentioning. We're also going to end up talking about the new television commercials starring Mr. T and William Shatner. We're going to talk a little bit about the new Vivendi-Activision merger for their games, Vivendi's games unit, which is going to be called Activision Blizzard. And we're going to get started right now. So, obviously, as we all know, patch 2.3 has been released. And let me get to my notes here. It was a pretty uneventful patch release for the most part. They did have to pull the servers down for the arena rankings thing, but, you know, who cares? Overall, it was a pretty seamless execution of the patch being implemented. A rarity, it seems, as late. Servers weren't down that much longer than they were supposed to be. It's not too bad. So I guess the first thing I'll talk about are some of the new UI improvements. The ability to see your quest givers on the map, great. I love it. I love it. Just that's all I can say. Especially because I'm going back and I'm leveling some alts. And so it's nice to just know, oh, there's a quest, there's a quest, there's a quest. And, you know, make sure my quest log is pretty full. It is also nice that if I'm in a new area that I've never been to, like I went to Zul'Aman, and I didn't know where the repair guy was, so I was able to click on the new map function and say I want to find a person who repairs. And boom, I was able to go over and find the person who repaired. I wanted to find a reagent dealer. I could do the exact same thing. This is very nice. Also, the daily quests with their, pardon me, blue exclamation points are not only for above the characters' heads. When you get to near them, near enough that your minimap will detect them, their exclamation point will also be blue there, so you know what's a daily and what's a regular quest. Some other UI improvements. There is the new low-level quest mentioning. So if you walk up to a quest giver and you talk to him and he's got, say, two quests, one for your quest level range and then one that's like, you know, where it would be gray, it actually marks it as low level so that you know. So that's pretty cool. It helps you to know whether you even want to bother taking it. Obviously, if you're going for rep, you might as well. If you're not, you know, whatever. The sparkling objects, I could take or leave. Most of the objects that you interact with in the world for quests, you pretty much know what they look like. I really hope you know what mining nodes look like by now. And if you didn't, I don't know what to tell you, but they sparkle too. It's kind of nice that some of the herbs sparkle, because some of them can be a little bit hard to spot depending on where they are at the time, because they might blend in with the background. So that could be a cool thing, but of course, obviously, you have your tracking. I have not yet gotten the fishing book to see how that works, so I can't comment on the tracking fish. But overall, those improvements worked out pretty well. Now, apparently there is a problem with some people and the red flashing when you're on your map screen or your options screen. If you start getting attacked, it flashes the screen on the edges. Well, apparently, I don't know why people haven't figured this out, but apparently they're getting reports of people with epilepsy, either mild or severe, are actually being sent into seizures. I don't know how severe, but if this happens, and in an upcoming patch, it might even be 2.3.2, they are giving you the option to turn that off. So it's been known for a long time that flashes on screens, whether they be television monitors, computer screens, whatever, can cause epileptic seizures. There was that one thing of Pokemon a couple years back that, you know, the one cartoon, they showed it once and it had like this flashing effect in part of it, and it sent a whole bunch of people into epileptic seizures in Japan. So they said, whoops. So I don't know why they had it that way. Apparently some people are mistaking Omen's flashing for the Blizzard flashing. And this is not to be confused. A lot of people are like, well, I'm out soloing and I get this flash, you know, I'm just me and my pet. Well, if you have Omen set up to work while you're soloing, which I don't, then if you get or start approaching 90% threat by default on your pet, it's going to flash you to tell you, ooh, warning, approaching 90% threat. And some people are thinking it's the Blizzard UI. It's not. That is Omen. The best recourse for people who use Omen and are getting this and their pet classes when they're soloing is to go into Omen's options and tell it to only show up when you are in a party or a raid. This will greatly help you. Just period. You won't get the flashes while you're out farming or soloing or whatever. It'll just be as if you didn't have it open. And when you're out soloing, you don't need a threat meter running anyway. So, overall, the UI improvements were pretty good. I don't have really any complaints about them. I mean, that's pretty much it. The voice chat still sucks. But that's not really UI. And the sound engine still blows. I constantly get problems where the sound engine skips and my frame rate drops to shit while it's doing it. So, whatever. I really just don't like the new sound engine that they introduced in 2.2. But overall, like I said, there weren't a whole lot of bugs. The night before maintenance there was shit ton of bugs this past Monday where the servers were crashing, the world servers were going down, people were falling through the world. Speaking of falling through the world, there actually is a little bug in Shadow Labyrinth, where you'll be in there and you pull that first, you know, big Felguard demon, and he's got a fear. Well, apparently, I've been in a group where people got feared by him. He fears them into the wall, and then they fall through the world. Not a good thing. And also, we had another person fall through the world in, Slave Pens. When the, whatchamacallit, when the server was deciding to take a crap. So, obviously there's some things you gotta watch out for here. But they're not too common. So, overall, bugs and everything hasn't been too bad on this patch. I'm pretty impressed with how smooth this transition went overall. One thing I did want to mention, however, I had mentioned last show that they were supposed to change the mob AI so that it was still supposed to attack the highest person on threat even if they were feared. I've actually noticed this isn't working quite as well as we were hoping. You know, we were doing heroic slave pens and a couple of the male Nagas can fear. No big deal. So we're running. We get up to one of the poles, you know, one sheep. The tank has plenty of threat. He's a good 20% above everybody. He gets feared, and all of a sudden it goes after me, and then it goes after a healer. That's not supposed to be happening. It's supposed to go after the person highest on the threat. So I have a feeling that that's not working out quite the way they hoped. I'm hoping that that'll be fixed, because personally I don't like getting attacked by a Naga that can like two-shot me because the fear mechanic isn't working quite the way they had hoped it would. All right, moving right along. We have Zulaman, the new troll instance located in the Ghostlands. Just so everybody knows, Zulaman, quite nice looking. It's not quite the same looking as ZG, where ZG is set in Stranglethorn Vale, which is much more of a tropical jungle aspect. This is set in the Ghostlands, so this has more of a... I don't want to say western like redwood, but like an evergreen foresty area. It's much more, say, northeastern United States foresty. It still looks very nice, but it's not quite the same as Zulaman, or as Zul'Garub. So anyway, I go in there a couple times. I find it interesting that there's a door inside. Like, you walk in, you're in the main area. There's a door inside. Okay. You talk to a dude, and he tells you that you need 5 people to bang on the gong at the same time as him. So getting people to do that, I mean, you might as well start pulling teeth at some points, because I don't understand how uncoordinated people can be. But as soon as the door opens, you are saved to the instance. And this, I'm gathering, is because the timed quest immediately begins. As a matter of fact, you don't even get it in your quest log. It's just sort of there. And I guess that's why it saves you. So this is kind of odd. Like, you can walk into a Zulaman group that has not yet killed a boss, and you're saved to that group's raid ID. You can't join another Zulaman group. So that kind of sucks. I think they should change it so after the door opens, the guy stands there with a quest, and then if you take the quest, then... You know, one person can take it, and then every, you know, do you want to take it? Yes. And if you accept the quest, then yes, now you're saved. Obviously, it was done to prevent people from, whatchamacallit, exploiting it. Oh, we didn't kill this boss. We'll just reform under, you know, we didn't kill the boss in time. We didn't kill the boss, whatever. We're going to reform under a new... with a new person as the raid leader, as whatever, and we're gonna, you know, come back tomorrow or whatever. So that's obviously why that was done. Not that I necessarily agree with it, but I understand why they did it. So anyway, the mobs hit quite hard. As a matter of fact, many of them are immune to crowd control. There's a bunch of, like, shaman dudes in there that are annoying as hell. You've really got to watch them. If they drop totems, you've got to kill those totems. And these aren't 5 hit point totems. These things have a good chunk of hit points. Like, I do about... what do I do? Christ, what do I do? Like, 2,000 almost point frost bolts. You know, 1,800 around there. Non-crit, and if I don't crit the damn totem, it lives through the frostbolt. So you've got to make sure to take them down. There's one of them that puts like a pre-shield on them, so you've got to get rid of that one. They obviously have a healing one, so just got to do that. As far as everything else, though, most of the stuff seems pretty crowd controllable. Some stuff is immune. Like I said, there are some trolls that are just completely immune. There are some other mobs that are completely immune. But I've only actually killed the first boss. I went in with a friend's guild. They needed a mage. I was like, yeah, sure, I'll go. And we actually got to the boss. Unfortunately, we wiped on the boss with like 1 minute left on the 20-minute timer. And that was because we actually had a partial wipe on the mobs right before him. And so, is this Nalarak? I think he's the first one, the bear boss. It's interesting the way this fight goes. First off, he's got a whole, you know, he taunts you and tells you to keep chasing him, and you got to kill a couple mobs along the way. And then he'll send groups of mobs after you. Like, he's got a group of 4 and then a group of 2 on bears. Now, when you're fighting these guys, obviously crowd control is very important. But when you're fighting the bear riders, they're a pain in the ass. Because what happens is you know, you'll be, you get, you're tanking them, got your two tanks, you're doing everything. Well, when you're only attacking the rider when he's on the bear. And then once you get him down to about, I think it's like 15% life, might be 10. He jumps off the bear, and now you've got the bear and the rider. Unfortunately, the bear gives them a buff that they do, they like enrage and do way more damage. So your healers have to be on the ball on this pole. You could try to have a mage sheep the bear, because they are susceptible to that. But overall, it's actually just better if your tank is geared enough to let him eat it, let your healers heal him through it, just knock that troll down, and then get that bear down as fast as possible, and then work on the other bear rider and that bear. Then there's the boss himself. And he's not too bad. He's more of an endurance fight than anything else. He's a basic tank and spank with kind of like the Bloodlord's charge ability. So all you do is you have a hunter stand back and behind the rest of the group. And then you start tanking the dude. Well, there is a slight catch to the tank. You need two tanks on it. Not because you need to switch threat, but you need two tanks on him, and they both need to be standing in front of him. And the reason is he does a cleave ability. Doesn't sound too bad, right? Oh, it's just a cleave, yeah. Well, unfortunately, if there's only one person in front of him, the cleave will hit that person for about 12,000 points of damage if they're in plate or a dire bear. So imagine what it'll do to a rogue or a clothy. Yeah. It's called one-shotting them. But if you have two tanks or more, like let's say you know you have someone else who can stand up there, like another tank or maybe a paladin healer or something, I don't know, somebody who could take the damage, it cuts the damage so that it's much more manageable for your healers. About every 45 seconds, he switches phases. And he's got two phases. He's got his troll phase, where he's just, you know, rapping on you. And then he's got a bear phase. He turns into a giant bear, and he still does his attacks. Now, while he's a giant bear, though, he has this, like, roar ability that it will silence everybody for 2 seconds. Maybe three. It's something like that. But it's enough to fuck your healers up if your tank is really low. So, what happens with this is he just charges the other guy. You know, if you've got your two tanks, you've got your healers, make sure they've got mana oil on their weapons and either eating mana regen food or whatever. Because this is a long fight. To give you an example, I used... how many did I use? At least two water elementals on their regular cooldowns. And this is summoning them at the beginning of the fight. I think I actually used a total of four. I think I used three on their regular cooldown, and then a fourth one on a cold snap, but it might have been two and then a third on the cold snap. So, that, I mean, that's a long, long fight. Mages use mage armor. But as long as nobody pulls threat, as long as your tanks get the threat up, and as long as you've just got the one person standing behind the whole rest of the group, he'll charge that one person, and your healers can just heal over time that person after he's been charged. Or, you know, if you have a spare healer, he can just throw a quick healer, an off healer. And it's a pretty basic fight. Okay? The only, like I said, the only problem can be when he switches phases, if he silences you right before he switches phases and then he cleaves your tanks, he might actually kill one of your tanks because your healers are silenced. And your healers have to watch their mana. They really do. You can reset him if you have a problem, like one of your tanks goes down really fast, or, you know, just some other bad luck. you just run back down the stairs behind you, and he resets, and then you can just try him again. So that's not too bad. There are these, like, hex sticks that drop off of the trash mobs, and you go, and there's all these frogs. And you use it on them, and what they do is they turn into people. And then these people will give you items or something that you can do. One guy turns into, like, a food vendor, and he's got, like, blackened basilisk and spicy crawdads. You know, nice food at pretty cheap prices. So, but I think we were putting all the sticks to one guy. And I can't remember why. There's, like, maybe a quest, something. I don't remember why. But it works out pretty well. It's not too bad. The next boss we went after was the Lynx boss, I think. And he's kind of funny. He's got three phases. In phase one, it's just him. And that lasts for 25% of his life, I think. Maybe a little more. And then phase two pops up. Well, when phase two pops up, you gotta be on the ball again. You need two tanks for him again. The Lynx aspect jumps out of him. And so now you've got this Lynx that's going to go right after your healer. So you got to have a tank ready to, boom, jump on him. And he also throws down totems. Your DPS has to kill those fucking totems. Has to. They will wipe your group otherwise. Bigwigs, I don't know about Deadly Boss mods, but Bigwigs has already gotten a bunch of its add-ons for, so it'll warn you that the totem's incoming so your DPS can go, that sort of stuff. And it warns you what type of totem it is, too. And basically, what you do is you stop DPS on the Lynx or on the troll aspect. And you gotta get the Lynx aspect down to like 5 or 10%. Once you do that, he'll enter phase 3. And we didn't actually get him to phase 3, so I'm not exactly sure what happens. But I think the Lynx jumps back into him, and then he turns into like a were-Lynx troll hybrid. But he still drops totems, and then you just burn him down with killing the totems. Again, long fight, or it can be long. It's going to be mana-intensive on your healers. Guilds that are not through Karazhan are going to have a very... very, very hard time in Zul'aman. It's not easy. The trash mobs hit for a lot. You know, you've got to control them. But if you've beaten Prince and you've gotten Karazhan pretty much to farm, you will probably get the first boss down your first night, and then you can go start working on the other bosses and seeing how you like it. The loot that drops is pretty good. It's pretty ugly, but it's pretty good. I saw a paladin helm. It looks like a freaking voodoo mask. I was like, what the hell is that? But definitely not bad. It's definitely not bad. I think that Zul'aman is going to be nice for guilds that can clear Kara, but maybe don't have enough people to do Gruul and Magtheridon and move into Serpent Shrine and the Eye. The loot is right around Serpent Shrine and the Eye quality. It's very nice. So maybe if you're a guild that's just starting Serpent Shrine, you might want to think about doing some Zul'aman first. Because that gear can only help you in Serpent Shrine and the Eye. Definitely worth looking at. So that's basically all I've been in Zul'aman, so I can't really talk too much more about it. As I do more in there, I can obviously talk more about it. Now, on to another big part of patch 2.3, and that is the leveling changes. Obviously, there's the changes that happened that everybody pretty much knew about, where basically from levels 20 through 60, you need 15% less experience to go up a level. And from levels 30 through 60, the quests give you about 15% more experience for most of the quests. A lot of those, like, go over here, like, to the new zone quests are obviously not giving you anything more. This, you know, it doesn't sound like a whole lot, but man, I got on my Rogue that I hadn't played in a while. And I should probably get on my other Rogue. It's actually in the 30s area, so it's like right in the right period. But my Rogue was like level 24. I'm like, okay, you know. So we go. And also, all the instances from levels 1 through 60 have had their quest experience raised and their reputation raised. And I'll get into that in a second. So, you know, my brother's like, I need wool for my warlock. I'm like, okay. So he's like, you got to run stockades? I'm like, yeah, sure. I got like 3 quests for there. So we go in and I check out the loot tables for stockades. And I'm like, oh shit, there's like nice stuff in here. Well, you think that. Unfortunately, one of the guys has to be a rare spawn, and all the other loot has like a 0.2% chance to drop or something like that off of the other shit. It was horrible. But anyway, so we go through, get done my 3 quests, go outside. Obviously, he's on his 70 mage, so I got like no experience while I was in there. But we go in, go outside, I turn in the quest, I ding, and I look, I'm like, ooh, I just got 500 Stormwind rep. And I go and I turn in the other quests, I'm like, wow, 500 rep for those quests, that's not bad. So then, you know, my friend and I were on our lobies, you know, the Rogue and his Warlock. And we go and we do a bunch of quests in Red Ridge. And we're going, and I don't realize it, but suddenly I'm out of rest XP, and I'm like, wait, I'm out of rest XP? I had like a full level and a half, and most of my experience that got me, or yeah, pretty much all of my experience that got me up this last level was from those quests. And then we look, and I've gone up 2 more levels, and I didn't even realize it. So it's fast. It's very fast. Obviously, this is causing a problem with my lockpicking because I'm not staying completely caught up to my lockpicking. But I got my Rogue up to level 29. We went into Black Fathom Deeps. I had all the quests for there for the Alliance. And one of them, or 2 of them, are Argent Dawn quests. You got to go collect the pendants, and then you get the one to go find the dude inside. And then he gives you a quest to get the head off the last humanoid boss. Well, my level 29 Rogue is friendly with the Argent Dawn now, because turning in every one of those quests, they were each worth 1,000 rep. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I'm friendly. So I like this. Okay. I might actually go back with my mage now, and maybe even my druid, and my other mage, and one of my other secret tombs, and go back and do like Strathholm. Why? Because I could get myself up to Exalted pretty quick by finishing a couple quests that I never did. If they're worth like 1,000 rep a pop, hell, why not? Scalamance. Duh. See, it's been so long since I've been there. A couple times. I've gotten a bunch of those dragon scales. I've been turning those in, and they're up to 500 rep a turn in. Or was it 250? Something. You know, it's higher than it was. We'll put it that way. Actually, I think it's 150. 150, and they used to be 75, so it's like double the rep. So I'm pretty happy with those changes. We did Sunken Temple for my brother's warlock. I brought my druid because he said, you know, we might just need a healer. My other friend was on his 70 druid as a feral tank. And they really didn't need me until they went to do the Hakar part, because that's the only point where my brother took any damage. But we're killing stuff. And, you know, we kill a couple. I get in there and they're already like, you know, we kill Arrancius, you know, that sort of stuff. And I'm like, wait a minute. I had this before. You know, this exact item. It's actually good now. They have really, really made the lower level instance blues a hell of a lot better. I remember when we were 60 and we're going around, Sunken Temple was like the worst place in the goddamn world to go because the loot sucked. You know, by the time you were ready to run Sunken Temple, you might as well have just put yourself up another level or two and started running BRD, because the loot was better. You know, that sort of stuff. Now, like, stuff was dropping in Sunken Temple, and I was like, oh my god, this is, like, good stuff now. We went, and when we did the Black Fathom Deeps, I got this awesome ring for my rogue. It just dropped off a trash blue ring. I was like, oh, yeah, I'll take that. I don't remember what it's called, so don't ask me. Basically, a lot of the loot, they not only upped a lot, you know, a lot of it to, from, you know, bind on, pick up greens to blues, but they made them pretty good. Obviously, everybody points out the Robes of Arugal lost its agility, you know, because we need agility cloth. Well, I do. I'm a melee mage. But, you know, they've actually made these things worth it. And I was like, wow. I can't wait to run this stuff on my fucking rogue and my warrior and my hunter and my shaman. Yes, I started a shaman. He's called Samshock. Samshock! I'm actually going to make a macro when I get Frost Shock that's just going to put in the say, Samshock! Whenever I do Frost Shock. Because I'm stupid that way. What do you want? I've been up for 20 hours. But, yeah, I'm thoroughly impressed with the leveling improvements. Very happy. I really hope that these leveling improvements make my leveling fun again. Obviously, also, some of the other improvements were getting some of the mobs in the outdoor world are no longer elite. And the mobs outside of dungeons are no longer elite. So, you know, I thought I was going to have to wait for my brother to get on his computer to get to the instance portal for Black Fathom Deeps, because I remember it was all full of elites, and they were all like 25. Now they're like level 20 regular mobs. I just blew through them, made it to the instance portal on my own. So actually, I can't wait to go to Scarlet Monastery, but I'll actually be able to kill shit there on the way. So, I'm pretty happy with the leveling improvements. This was a long time coming. I was dreading trying to level up any alts at this point that weren't already past level 60. Because it was just, you know, Azeroth's a ghost town. You can't find anybody to do any group quests, any elite quests. And now you just sit there and you're like, yeah, I can do this. And it's a wonderful thing. So, one of the other so-called improvements was reducing the reputation needed to get into heroic instances from revered to honored. I mentioned last show that I was not a huge fan of this. I'm even less of a fan of it now. There have been so many absolute retards getting into my groups for heroics, or inviting me to groups for heroics, that I basically need to have, like, the armory open to look them up before I join, or before I invite them, or, you know, before I say invite this person or whatever. There have been so many green, like, quest green clad 70s. Oh, gotta go pick up my key. What? And then they get there, they're like, oh, I've never been here before. Oh my god. Like, you've never been to her heroic? No, ever. Oh my god. You know, like, you're just fucking slash facepalm. You know, I mean, you literally want to sit there with your hand supporting your head because you just want it to just fall over. It's horrible. I have decided that I'm only going to run heroics with people I know. Because we're not complete retards. You know, I did one, the daily was Heroic Sethic. Heroic Sethic's not that bad, okay? It can be tough, but it's not that bad. So we're going, and, you know, this one hunter started the group, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. Didn't look him up in the armory. There was my first mistake. So there's me, a Moonkin Druid, a Druid Tank, a Priest, and this Hunter. This Priest has like a 7,000 point mana pool, and this should have been my first warning that there's something wrong here. The second warning should have been when the Hunter got back to his keyboard after we summoned him, being like, which instance is it again? Like, which way? That should have been my second warning. My real warning that actually set off my warning flashes, however, was we get up to the first boss. And I haven't really looked at my damage meter until this. Even though it's up on my screen, I don't really watch it because I don't need to. You know, it's not really important who's doing the most DPS in a group, right? Right. However, it is important for me to look and see that the freaking tank is doing more damage than the Hunter. There is a problem. There is no reason that in any five-man group, the Hunter should be fourth on the damage meter below the tank. Okay, this Moonkin Druid, I don't know what's up with Moonkins right now, man, but they are pumping out that DPS like no tomorrow. Moonkin in my guild does this too. She blows us all away on fucking Karazhan runs and everything else like that. I'm like, how the hell do you do that? I've got like 400 more damage than you. What is going on here? They're not quite 400. I've got, what do I have? I have 10-10 frost damage, and when she fully buffs herself with elixirs and food and you know, whatever else you can do to up your spell damage, weapon oil, that sort of stuff, she gets up to about 900 and I go up to like 1100. So I've got like 200 more damage than her, but she's like top DPS in a Kara raid, and I'm like, man, this is insane. But anyway, so this Balanced Druid in this other raid, he was beating me too. And I'm a Frost mage. So look, I don't expect to be number one on DPS. I'm Frost. I understand that Frost does not do as much damage as Fire. I have more crowd control and survivability. I'm fine with this, okay? But like I said, when I see, okay, Moonkin Druid top, fine. Me second, fine. Tank third, wait a minute, Hunter fourth. And not just fourth by, like, you know, 0.5% or something. Because, you know, Druid Tanks can actually do some damage if they're in the right gear. No, he's, like, 10% behind the fucking tank. I was like, oh my god. And then the tank said, and we wiped on the first boss, like, four times. And the tank's like, I'm out of here. And I'm talking to the Moonkin Druid, and we're both like, you know what? You and I and the tank were the only people geared enough to be in there in the first place. And, you know, so the Moonkin and I, we added each other to friends, so we'll run together because we know what the hell we're doing. We had all gone to Revered, at least, if not Exalted, with all those factions. And it's just, I can't believe it. You know, did a Heroic Slave Pens. Mage had never been there. He's in green, so I'm like, oh, crap. And so I'm on my mage, and there's the mage in greens, and then what did we have for the other DPS? I don't remember. Oh, a DPS warrior. That's right, we had a DPS warrior. And I mean, that group actually worked out. We beat the instance. Pally tank, you know, we were like, okay, you know, the healer was good geared, the tank was good geared. Basically, the mage was the only one. And so, once I told him, you know, make sure your crowd controls, and then he completely surprises me when I'm like, you know, resheep your dude before he pops. Like, as soon as one mob dies, resheep your guy. And he's like, you can do that? And I'm like, slash facepalm. You know, in my mind, because I couldn't believe, like, how can you be a mage, get to 70, and not realize you can reach sheep when something is sheeped? I don't know. But I've had too many groups just be with complete and utter retards when it comes to these instances. And these are the people, you know, God bless them that they soloed their way to 70. But just because you're 70 does not mean you are ready to get into a heroic instance. And I'm probably rambling. So I'm going to move on to the loot. Obviously, the dungeon loot didn't change. However, there's now new badge loot. For most of the classes, they got some pretty good upgrades. Cloth got shafted, though. There's only 7 cloth pieces, 3 healer, 4 DPS. The problem with the DPS cloth is that 3 of the 4 pieces are pretty much useless to Shadow Priests and Affliction Warlocks because they've got all sorts of spell haste on them. And, you know, for classes that rely on dots or channeled spells, that doesn't really help you. Not at all. They're not bad for mages or destruction warlocks, but for shadow priests and affliction warlocks, they blow. The fourth piece does have spell hit, so that's good for all of them. Again, another group that actually gets shafted a little bit is tanking warriors. And that's because 2 of the best tanking pieces for the heroic badge rewards are paladin tanking pieces. How do you know they're paladin tanking pieces? Well, because I'm glad you asked that. They've got plus damage and healing on them. But they've got insane amounts of defense, insane amounts of shield block, and really high stamina. So it's like, yeah, they're pally pieces, but you know what? I'd use them on my warrior. Again, they're kind of expensive, but, you know, if you know how to do it right, you can do it great. The other week, it was me, 3 friends, and this druid tank that I guess one of them knew. And we're going. And we did heroic mana tombs for the daily. And we could summon the summonable boss. So it was like, okay, cool. So then we go and turn that in. So now that's 6 badges. Fine. Then we decide we're going to run some more heroics. We're in the mood for badges. So we blow through heroic ramparts, heroic steam vaults, blow through heroic ramparts, underbog, and slave pens afterwards. We ended up for that night getting 16 badges. Hey, I'm not going to complain. I've already spent 135 badges on my mage, and that got me the trinket that I could also have bought for honor, but I just really don't feel like grinding out battlegrounds for honor. It got me the wand, which, of course, the funny thing is I buy the wand, but like 3 days before that, I had finally gotten the black stalk off of the heroic underbog. And I did put a nice gem in it, though. Plus 6 spell damage, plus 6 stamina. So it's pretty nice. Then I bought the heroic new offhand, which is awesome looking, by the way. It really, like, I just want to, like, run up to mobs and just smack them in the face with it and try to stick the wings in their eyes. It looks that cool. And, you know, it pumped me up. It put me up about, I guess, 50 damage altogether between all of them. That put me up to 10-10 frost damage. And I'm like, you know, hey, I'm pretty good here. And obviously now Karazhan drops badges, and so does Zul'aman. So if you work it right, it's not going to take you too long to get all your gear. Unfortunately, after that point, you know, when most people have pretty much all their gear, you're going to find less and less people running heroics again, because there's really no reason to after you've gotten all that gear. Which, however, is probably why they made them so expensive. So that you figure most people run 1, maybe 2 heroics a day. So they're like 5-6 badges, maybe. And, yeah. The new loot is nice. I wish there wasn't quite as much spell haste on it for the damage caster stuff. But overall, the new heroic gear was pretty nice. I'm pretty impressed with it. Balanced Druids got some really nice stuff, which they were lacking, which is spell damage leather. Ooh, that was a fart. And then, I guess Rhett's about the only people that got screwed out, but, you know, it's fucking Rhett Paladins, who cares? You know. So, there's my little talk on heroics. Again, 20 hours, no sleep. It's going to sound rambling. I am, however, going to offer up a solution for this problem of the heroics being honored and getting complete and utter mongoloids in there with you. Maybe they should change it to an account-wide thing, you know, per server. So let's say I've got one toon who is revered with, you know, the heroic factions. So I get my keys. But now all my alts are automatically keyed on that server, on that account. Obviously, if I have two accounts, different story. But that would work out better, I think, because at least that way you know that the people have run the instances and they know the polls at least a little bit, and that, you know, it's not like, well, where's the instance? You know, facepalm. Pardon me. So I think that would be a better solution than dropping it down to honored. All right. So now we're moving on to the new daily quests. Bum, bum, bum. I actually already mentioned one of them, which is the heroic daily. And there were a total of 3 new quest givers added. 2 for consortium dudes and 1's a little goblin. And he's the cooking quest. And basically, the cooking quest, it's one of a couple different ones. There's one where you have to go kill monstrous Kaleri and get one of their wings. Now, granted, I fucking hate that quest. Because there are times, great, I get it on the first kill. Praise God. Because I hate those birds. And then there's other times where I kill like 10, 12, 15, 20 before it fucking drops. And you just want to gouge your eyes out at that point. There's another one where you need, and you also need warp burgers, 3 warp burgers for that quest. And, you know, you go boom, boom, you're done. And then there's another one where you need cleft hoof meat. You got to cook that up, and you got to go do something, and you take it up to the ancestral grounds in Negrand, and you cook it up there. It can only be cooked there. Okay, fine. And then there's another one where you go to Blade's Edge Mountain and you gotta get some the raptor meat and turn it into short ribs. And then you've gotta cook the item that you need for the quest over the body of an infernal at the southern forge camp up on the plateau where Ogrela is. That's pretty neat. It's definitely an interesting way to cook meals over the body of an infernal. I mean, they burn, I guess, yeah. And then the last quest that I know of is you have to go up to Netherstorm, and you have to go to one of the Echo Domes, not the Storm Spire, but one of the other Echo Domes, and there will be berries for you to pick. And that one's apparently really easy. So you go and you turn in the quest, and this one's only worth like 7 gold and change, but you go and you turn in the quest, and you can choose between a barrel of fish or a box of meat. And there's a chance when you open up each thing that there's going to be a recipe in there. And the recipe's bind on pickup, so you can't, like, sell it. And, there you go. I already talked about those recipes last show, so go listen to that one. For your heroic daily, it is an extra 2 badges for completing it, and it's always pick an item up off the last boss of the heroic. Okay. And it's also worth like 24 gold, 60 silver, or something like that. It's like 24 and change. Again, not bad. 2 badges, 25 gold almost. I can deal. Most of them are pretty, you know, most of the heroics are pretty easy. The only time I look at it and I go, no, is when it is heroic Black Morass or heroic Dernhold. Fuck those heroics. I hate them. They're horrible. for the loot that drops and for everything else, they are so not worth going to. They're just not worth it. So when those heroics pop up, I go, yeah, no, I'm just going to skip it today. And then there is the Dungeon Daily, which is interesting, because what it is it only affects the level 70 dungeons. And it's just a kill quest. Go kill X of Y. Easy. It's worth like 16 and change. And you get one of those prison keys as well. The nice thing about both of these quests is they're both worth consortium rep. The heroic is worth like 350 rep, and the dungeon one is worth 250 rep, or somewhere around there. They're close to those areas. Also, the regular dungeon one can be done in heroic. So if you've got to go kill the Tempest Destroyers in Mechanar, and you have the quest, and you get into a heroic Mechanar group, you will still get credit for killing those, even in heroic mode. You don't have to kill them in non-heroic. However, for the heroic dungeon ones, it has to be heroic mode. So, those are your new daily quests. Again, the extra 2 badges and 24 goals, not too bad. I actually did a little math, believe it or not. And if you do 10 dailies, okay, all of which give you at least 11.99 gold, which would be the heroic daily, the dungeon daily, the mining carts in Netherstorm, or I'm sorry, not Netherstorm, at the Netherwing Mines, and then 7 other, 12 gold dailies, you will earn at least 144 gold per day just from the dailies, not including drops, anything else like that. So that's not too bad. So, all in all, not bad. I'm going to mention a new thing that we have discovered that's coming in 2.4 right now, and that is not only when the Sunwell gets released is it going to be the 2 instances, apparently there's going to be this like outdoor area for it, and there's going to be new daily quests up there as well. So, again, more ways to make money. Not too bad. Not too bad at all. And no, I didn't forget about the Battleground dailies, because this is all going into one thing. Your Battleground dailies, they're randomized just like the heroics and the regular dungeons and the cooking. Basically what it is, you get a quest, 12 gold, win a Battleground. If you win, you get the 12 gold, and you get 419 bonus honor. So, I don't know if it's worth it to people. Some people might think it is, I don't know. Not to me. I hate the Battlegrounds. But this leads us into our next part, which is going to be the PvP stuff. First, we're going to talk about the AV changes. And I explained last show that they switched AV. It's no longer just a race for the general. It's now basically deplete your enemy's reinforcements however you can, taking towers, killing enemy players, killing the captains, and or killing the generals. Well, the Horde used to always complain, oh, the Alliance have such an advantage. They've got that choke point at Stormpike Graveyard, then they've got the Bridge of Death, then they've got all those Illidan-like NPCs that we can't avoid, which they could avoid. They were just fucking dumb and ran right up the middle of the damn road. But now you've got the Alliance claiming that the Horde have an advantage here. And to a degree, the Horde do. It's not insurmountable, okay? It's just that they do have an advantage. And the advantage is they start closer to the Alliance base than the Alliance starts to their base. So basically, instead of meeting in the Field of Strife, which is like midfield, the Horde and the Alliance meet at the Stonehearth Bunker and Stonehearth Graveyard, which is Alliance territory. So, automatically, the Horde pretty much can have the Stonehearth bunker flipped, not captured, but flipped, by the time the Alliance gets there. And if you don't flip it back, you lose reinforcements. Unfortunately, and all the Horde are like, oh, learn to defend, just like you told us. And, you know, I have to point out that when you have to assault your own base to retake it, that's not really defending, because you're retaking it. It means it was taken. It's no longer yours. So, and, you know, once the Horde is inside the bunker, they can set up a defensive perimeter. So they're on the defense, not the Alliance. So that's kind of a help for the Horde. Again, because of their start position, the Horde tactic of go for Stonehearth and then Belinda works fine. That was what they did pre-2.3. It's what they do post-2.3. And because they get there faster, it works. But now the Alliance, their old strategy of going for Galvanger does not work. Because you literally have to put up a huge defense at the Stonehearth graveyard to make sure the Horde don't flip it. And push your way into Stonehearth bunker and flip it back in order to set yourself up so you can actually get to Iceblood and then get to Galvanger and the other stuff. So what's been happening a lot, though, is the Alliance has just been the Alliance and not working the right way. They're just still going for Galv. And so what happens, well, first off, Galvanger hits like a ton of bricks. So, you know, you need like 15 people to, you know, to easily take him down. You can do it with about 7 or 8, but you can actually do it with 5, but it's not recommended, especially if there's any sort of Horde defense in there. Especially because he fears, and he whirlwinds, and he cleaves, and he just fucking destroys people. And then, of course, Belinda is a freaking pussy compared to him. Like, you can two-man her if you're Horde. If you know what you're doing, you can two-man Belinda and down her pretty quick. You can interrupt your spells, you can fucking line a sighter when you have to. You know, she's a wimp. So, you know, the Alliance is finding that they're losing like 150 reinforcements, boom, like that. And they're also finding that because they're not taking the graveyards before they go after Galvanger, that when they die, they're put back at Stormpike. Well, whereas the Horde always complained about Stormpike being this insane choke point, it is. When you're coming from the south, Stormpike is a choke point. Even though there's 3 ways to get into it, you can still force a choke. However, when you're coming from the north, Iceblood is an insanely good choke point. So, you know, the Horde have that. And when you've got these Alliance trying to go back from Stormpike to Iceblood and then to Galv, they have to go through, like, the whole Horde offense to get there. So they're just dying left and right, and they're getting sent right back to Stormpike. So it's causing problems. And one of the reasons that it's causing problems is this is not the AV of old. The AV of old, where the Horde AFK'd their way through it, you know, why did they do it? Because you got like 100 less honor for AFKing through AV and losing than the winner. Now, the losers, no matter which side, because, you know, the Alliance is winning in some cases, the losers can literally walk away with 0 honor. If they don't flip the towers, if you capture all their towers, if you kill, they don't kill the captain, you kill their captain, you literally will, they will walk away with 0 bonus honor. And so now you've got the Horde complaining because on certain battle groups, their queue times are up. And they're like, oh my god, I've got a 40-minute queue for AV. What's going on? This is so unfair. You know, one Horde was like, hey Horde, stop queuing up for the other battlegrounds so that these Alliance can know what fucking 40-minute queues are like. And I had to respond, yeah, you know what? When I had 3-hour queues for AV, I really am going to be upset that you have 40 minutes. We used to go fucking down Ragnaros in between queues, okay? No sympathy for you there, any Horde players that are on these battle groups where AV's timer's going up. But what's happening? Unlike before, where the Horde AFK'd and they lost and they all bitched about it anyway, but they got honor. If, you know, the Horde steamrolls the Alliance in the way that they've been doing on a lot of these battle groups, the Alliance is walking away with zero honor. They're not going to queue up. They're going to go to the other battlegrounds where they at least can get some honor. And apparently some battle groups have made a deal. Nobody plays defense. Nobody. Okay? Everybody just goes pure offense. Everybody takes the towers. Everybody kills the captains. And then once the towers flip, they both go after the respective generals. And then may the best team win at that point. And these people are saying on these battle groups that when everything goes the way that it's supposed to like that, the losing team is only getting about 100 honor less than the winning team. So they don't care. And the games last like 15 minutes. So they don't care who wins or loses because everybody's getting between 400 to 500 to 600 honor. And then the games are over in 15 minutes and everybody's queuing up for it and they don't care. But then you've got other battle groups. Apparently Stormstrike is like one of the battle groups that people are complaining about the queue times. And it's because the Horde refuses to like give up any advantage to getting 600 honor versus zero. And as a result, their Alliance are like, fuck it, we're going to go to Eye of the Storm and Warsong and Arathi Basin, because at least we can get some honor there. And I can't say that the Alliance are in the right, but I can't blame them either, because I wouldn't want to go to a battleground and get zero bonus honor either. Not that I battleground. But so this change has been, I don't know. I don't think that Blizzard looked at it correctly. They're trying to look at it and see how the games are going and everything else like that. But they, Dreisig had even said, you know, Drisk, however you want to pronounce his fucking name, had even said, you know, well, there's very few quantifiable things that we can check. And I replied, look, dude, measure distances. Measure the distance from the Alliance starting point to Galvinger. And then measure the distance, or actually, don't even go to Galvinger. Go to Iceblood, the neutral graveyard, okay? Then measure the distance from the Horde starting point to the Stonehearth bunker. Tell me if you don't see a slight difference. That's quantifiable. Very quantifiable. I think the way to balance AV in that respect is just to move the Horde starting point so that they have to, so that everybody meets in the Field of Strife. Everybody meets at Iceblood. In the middle of the goddamn map where they should be meeting, not in one person's territory. Then from there, let the best man win. I don't care. Let the best team win. Kill each other, because that's what it's going to be there. So, I don't know. I don't think they really looked at how the map was designed when they decided to change it to this new format. And as a result, you've got people not organized. They're not an organized boycotting. They're just deciding, I'm not queuing up for this. I'm not spending a half hour in AV to get zero honor. I wouldn't want to either. But now this moves us on to the arenas. Season 3 has begun. Pardon me. And I'm actually in an arena team now, two arena teams. I hate WoW PvP, but I'm in him. My friend wants some points for his shaman. He asked me. I'm like, okay. Season 3 gears out, and as you know, you need a personal rating of 1850 or better to buy a weapon, and you need a personal rating of 2000 or better in order to buy shoulders. Unfortunately, the personal rating is very easy to exploit. Extremely easy to exploit. All you got to do is set your team up so that you have a bunch of alts and your mains. take your alts and dance naked in every fucking game until you are at the bottom. You know, 1100, 1000, whatever. Ugh. Once you're there, you then switch to your mains, who are normally going to be decked out in like season 2 and some season 3. Then romp your way back up in the rankings. Your personal rating is going to go up for your mains. How do I know this? Because we were in the 1500 bracket. And, you know, we started arenaing 2 weeks later. And there are people in complete season 2, partial season 3, romping us. Okay? And I look at the team name and I go, wait a minute. We beat that team last week. Because we only played 3 games last week before the servers took a crap. And now they've just come back and destroyed us. And I mean, we beat them hard. Although they pretended to fight back, we beat them hard. So you're going to run into this problem. The people are going to exploit their personal rating. They're going to get the personal rating on their mains up. And then they're going to let the team rating go way down. It should be changed so that not only does your personal rating need to be that high, but your team rating also needs to be that high in order to buy stuff. And I know people will be like, oh, but that's going to be so shitty. Well, so is exploiting the system so that you get your personal rating up there without actually having to fight the people that you would need to fight at that bracket. So, whatever. Again, the weapons are absolutely godlike for PvE. You have the, let's just go with the rogue swords, you know, the main hand and offhand. The only thing better than them is the legendaries off of Illidan. The healing mace is better than a healing mace drop off of one of the bosses in Hyjal, or Hyjal, however you want to pronounce that. The spell dagger is the best weapon for shadow priests and druids and elemental shaman. There's also a mace with the exact same stats. And it is the second best for mages and warlocks, with the only better dropping off of Archimonde. And here's the massive difference, okay? The one off of Archimonde has 2 more intellect. It has 24 spell crit instead of 18 resilience. And it has 12 more damage. That's it. It's not a huge upgrade. It's still an upgrade, but it's not a huge one. You know, so again, the weapons are just fucking outrageous. And with this very exploitable personal rating ability, you're going to see tons of teams with them. And you're going to be like, yeah, but your ratings suck. Oh, but my personal rating is great. See? Again, they fucked up with the arena. I know what they put in the personal rating to try to make it so that you had to try to win. But since it's so easily exploited, it doesn't work. Change it so that the team rating and your personal rating have to be like that. And then you'll see people actually playing to win in the real way. And not just lose a ton of games to get down to a 1200, 1100 rating. And then jump on the mains and bump the rating back up. Or, you know, you get the win traders who they make deals and, you know, the alt team queues up at like 5 in the morning and the other side's main team queues up and they're roughly the same. So the main team wins a couple times, knocks the other people down. Then they'll switch to their alts and the other guys will switch to their mains and get their rating back up. So the arena is just very easily exploited and it just needs to be changed and fixed. Now for the guild banks. Dun, dun, dun. Apparently the prices have gone up from what I had said last time when I had mentioned that those prices were probably subject to change. When I reported The price apparently for the first tab had gone down to 1 gold. It's now 100 gold, then 200 gold, then 250 gold, then 500 gold, then 1,000. I don't know after that. There's good, there's bad, and there's ugly about the guild bank. The good is places to store shit. No more needing to have quite so many mule characters. You know, communal stuff. Stuff like patterns. Or, you know, craftable stuff. That sort of stuff. The bad, the price, again, is kind of high. I've already donated like 400 gold to my guild's bank to try to, you know, get them to be able to buy slots. We only have 3 slots. And I paid for like 2 of them. Thankfully, I have thousands of gold, but, you know, I don't want to have to pay for everything. The bad also having to deal with whenever the guild leader buys a new tab, they have to go in and set the permissions for that tab for each rank. And so that can be tedious. And then there's the ugly. There is a bug with the guild banks where the guild leader sometimes has to change people's abilities with their ranks per tab like 4 times before it takes effect, which is not good. There is another bug where if you leave another guild and join a new guild, your old guild's permissions that you had, so let's say you were guild leader, okay, and you disband the guild or whatever, and then you join a new guild, you'll have guild leader permissions in the new bank. So you can wipe out a guild's bank in no time if they're setting it up. Now, what we have set up is the officers can withdraw items, not money. Everybody can donate items and money. And what we do is we say, if you need something from the guild bank, you just contact an officer. We'll pull it out for you and we'll give it to you. But we were also smart in how we did the officer stuff. Even the officers can only take out 5 stacks or items at a time, depending on how they stack. So no one officer can go in and clean out the bank at any given time. The max they can take out is 5 things. So we were smart when we did that. It was just sort of the default setting, I think, for everything. But after hearing about some of these stories about like people getting invited to guilds and cleaning out the guild banks, or people watching other people getting a little alt invited to a guild saying, hey, I'm so-and-so's alt, can you promote me back up to officer or officer alt or whatever, something with guild bank permissions, and then they clean out the bank. And then, you know, obviously what they do is they then transfer all the items to a main and then they delete that character. And basically Blizzard has said, Kavat Empor, you know, buyer beware. They can't do anything beyond 25 logs. They can't punish people for it. They won't take action like that. They feel that is on the guild to be responsible for how their guild bank has worked. So basically, I would say don't let every single member be able to pull out shit from your bank. Let them deposit. Let them deposit gold. And then you say, if you want something, you contact an officer. They'll pull it out and they'll either send it to you or hand it to you. And then even then, make the officers only have a certain amount of stacks that they can withdraw per day. It works fine for us. As a matter of fact, we need to get up like another 300 gold in there now to buy another tab, because one of our tabs is completely full. That's our patterns and gear tab. And there are patterns out my ass in there. There's some gear in there that we can probably pull out and get rid of, like really low-level stuff that just doesn't matter. But then there's, you know, some higher-level gear that we'd like to keep in there for people on their alts or, you know, new mains or whatever. But, you know, even with some of the officers, we've noticed one of the officers was taking out a lot of stuff and not really putting anything back in, whereas I'm the exact opposite. I put in every single bag in that goddamn bank, okay? And that's like 50 bags that I made and I put in there. And I've put in an ass ton of rep items for Netherwing, for Scryer, for Cenarian Expedition, for Aldor, for fucking Sporigar, which I don't even care about. I'm throwing rep items in there left and right. I'm throwing so much shit in this bank, it's not even funny. And I've only taken out bags to give to my alts. Like, I finally started playing my alts because of the leveling thing. And I'm looking and I'm like, oh my god, I've got like 14 slot bags. No, this isn't working. You know, when I started on my rogue, who's my jewel crafter. And I was like, no. So I made myself 4 18 slot bags. And then I pulled out 4 16 slot bags that I had made previously from the guild bank and sent them to my alt. Okay. But I've put in like 300 things into this fucking bank. I think I can pull out 5 bags. And nobody should care. But one of the officers in my guild right now is, or has been, I don't know, if I think we might have reduced his rank's privileges. You know, I look in the rep thing when I'm putting in rep stuff, I'm like, where the fuck is all the rep items? They were all gone. And I looked at the logs, and it's this one officer had pulled out all the rep items for the Aldor. And I was like, what the fuck, man? I'm like, I put them all in there. It was like 200 fucking marks of Sargeras, like 20 fucking fell armaments that I farmed up myself, which didn't take that long. With Legion Hold, hello. Just fucking kill shit there. And he's a damn warlock. It's not like he can't kill shit. So you really just gotta watch out. One of the other officers pulled out a bunch of shit for his alt and then left with his officer tune. So it was like, what the fuck are you doing pulling that shit out? Like blue gems, stuff like that. I was like, where the fuck do you think you're getting off doing this? So we've really buckled down on who gets to take out what. And I'm actually co-guild leader of this guild right now. And we're taking screenshots of the logs every day to see who's taking out and who's putting in so that we can decide, well, maybe these people have to get demoted to a rank that can't take anything out until they start realizing they got to put stuff in as well. So, there's your guild banks. All right, so I just want to do a little bit of talking about some changes coming up in 2.3.2, which is the next patch. First off, mages, all of them are getting ice block. It'll be trainable, I think, at level 30. And it's being replaced in the frost tree with a talent called Icy Veins. However, Cold Snap is actually moving to where ice block was. And then Icy Veins is taking over Cold Snap's position. And what Icy Veins does is a 3-minute cooldown lasts 20 seconds. While active, all spells cast by the mage have 20% of their cast time removed, like reduced. And I think it's an extra 10% chance that your chill effects will freeze its arc in place. So obviously you need Frostbite to make that work. It'll be a nice little PvE DPS thing. I don't really know how it's going to affect PvP, and I don't really care. You know, I'm happy losing 10 games a week because my friend wants the points. I don't, but at least I'm going to fight to, you know, try to win. If we win a couple, I'm happy. you know, especially if it actually looks like we really won. Also, Hunters, this patch had they removed the ability to trap two things in ice traps, and that is being reversed. Rogues got a hemo buff this patch, and next patch is going to be nerfed back down a little bit. Don't ask me why they would do something like that. Hey, let's buff it up a little bit, make people go into subtlety. Oh, it's doing too much damage, nerf it! You couldn't test this? So, those are just a couple changes that I just felt like mentioning. There's not a whole lot coming in this little patch. So, hopefully Guild Bank fixes. Hopefully Falling Through the World fixes, that sort of stuff. Up next, there are new TV commercials. That's right. New television commercials have been made for World of Warcraft. Much like the, I guess it's not really a World of Warcraft. The Toyota commercial had World of Warcraft in it, so it was kind of like a mix of both. But now these are pure World of Warcraft commercials. There are going to be three of them altogether. Two of them are up and on Blizzard's site. And they star Mr. T and William Shatner. I'm William Shatner, and I'm a shaman. You know, Spock, I don't know what's going on. They're funny. They really are. The next one being released is Vern Troyer, I don't remember how you say his name. Mini-Me from the Austin Powers movies. He's going to be in that. He's probably going to be a gnome. Mr. T was a night elf mohawk. And they're like, there's no such thing as a night elf mohawk. How do you know Mr. T didn't go in and hack the game, Mr. Arrogant Director, sir? They're actually kind of funny. Shatner plays a shaman, supposedly. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they do this. There's apparently also a Spanish language version of the commercials, and it's a Spanish actor who is in it. I don't know his name. I think he's supposed to be playing a paladin, and I don't understand Spanish beyond a few words, so I couldn't tell you what's being said in there. Let's see. Also, there is a lot more talk on the forums lately about how to change the PvE loot system. And a lot more people are leaning towards a similar idea to what I discussed a little while back with the point system. Although one of them was completely overpowered, which was, you know, you get points for wiping too. And I'm like, no. That's, you can't do that. You either win or you don't. Because that's how PvE works. I remember one guy said about the, you know, with PvP, you can't just reward success or you'll lose your customer base. And I go, you do realize that PvE is all based around success. You don't level by failing. You know, you don't complete quests by not killing the guy or not picking the herb or not getting the item. You don't do that. You don't get the experience if you don't do it. So why is it fine for PvP to reward failure and PvE to not? I still don't think PvP should reward failure the way it does. Okay? I'm not saying that, you know, if you have no resilience and you're, you know, I have no resilience, shit. But I've soloed people in the arena. Don't ask me how. They don't attack me and I'm just fucking wailing on them. But I think that there should be a steeper drop-off in points after you get below a certain rating, which I'm probably below. We ended up losing just about all of our games this week, and it dropped me down to like a 13-22. But we fought the one team of the, you know, the guys doing the alt things like five times. They just destroyed us every single time. After that, my friend was like, fucking Mortal Strike Warriors. He's like, you know what I fought in my 5v5? Four Holy Paladins and a Mortal Strike Warrior. There was nothing we could do. I was like, wow, that's got to suck. Because the Mortal Strike Warrior, they couldn't hurt him. And they couldn't kill the other healers, because you know, four fucking healers, all they could dispel. Boof, who cares? The Mortal Strike Warrior could kill everybody, who cares? So, you know, we dropped down to like a 1322 rating, and I don't care. I'm not in it for points for me, I'm in it to help my friend. You know, if we win games, we win games, cool. But, you know, maybe if you get below a 1400 rating, it should, the points should drop off dramatically so that people can't just, you know, lose their way to epics. Which, while you hear a lot of PvPers go, oh, that doesn't happen as often as you think, you go and you look, and there's plenty of people with like 1200 ratings sporting S3. So, I don't want to hear it. The hell else was I talking about? This is what happens when you're on 22 hours of no sleep. So yeah, more people are talking about that sort of stuff with the PvE loot system as well. Interesting concept, huh? And plans for upcoming shows is in my notes here. So I'm going to talk about the plans for upcoming shows. Obviously, I'm going to be getting a new mic again. I sort of need to. But, Christ, I have to add in some more music again. I am also going to try to have an interview soon with, it'll be kind of funny when it happens, or if it happens. I have to contact this person and see if they're willing to do it. Not really a co-hosting thing as much as me actually asking them questions. If it does come to pass, I will be sure to spruce up that show with nothing. I got nothing. It'll just have someone I'm talking to. I was requested by one of my listeners to talk about Rogues in an upcoming show, preferably sooner. Because his wife is playing a rogue, she's new to the game, and she really doesn't know that much about the class, that sort of stuff. So, I'll probably do a little rogue show. I am going to talk to a friend of mine who has a newer Mac. Because, you know, my Mac blows. And I want to do an add-on show. But I'd like to do that one as a video show. So what I'm going to try to do is use his Mac to record with my add-ons on his game. You know, I'll just bring my add-on folder and my WTF folder and bring it over to his game just so I can show the add-ons. And, you know, he's not even playing right now, so he probably won't even care. I could probably just, you know, burn all that shit to a CD, bring it over. Boop. Okay, thanks. So if I can get that to go, I will make that my first video cast. And it'll be a pretty in-depth look at a bunch of the add-ons that I use, along with, obviously, information on where to get the add-ons. It's been a long time since I've done an add-on show. I have changed my add-ons quite a bit. I've moved almost all over to Ace 2. Not completely, but almost completely over to Ace 2, which obviously makes updating a lot easier too. And, after that, I'm not really sure what's going to be going on. Like I said, I'm going to try to get that interview set up as soon as I get a new mic. I can't do it with this mic. It'll sound like crap. And make sure I got a recording equipment that will deal with everything correctly, which probably means using the PC downstairs instead of my Mac up here. So, remember, you can always go to my forums. You can head over to my website, worldofpodcast.blogspot.com, which might be changing. I have, hopefully, a new job interview this week, which will give me a little bit of extra cash, and in which case I will be getting my own domain and everything. And then if that happens, I will also transfer all the show notes over. I will transfer the RSS feed, and I will also be moving the forums over. I don't know if I'll be able to move any old posts, but if I can, I will. And I guess that's pretty much it. So don't forget, head over to worldofpodcast.blogspot.com. Click on the forums link on the right side of the page to check out my forums. There's been a little bit of discussion again lately. If you're going to join my forums, please email me at unclethursday@gmail.com. This is to prevent spammers. You send me a message saying, hi, I want to join your forums. This is the username and or the email address that I signed up with. Very easy to do. You don't have to do much. People that have done it, they know they get a little email back that just says, yeah, you're approved. And I go in, I just approve them real quick. It takes 2 seconds. Also, please go ahead and leave some reviews on iTunes. I haven't had a new review in a long time. Months, as a matter of fact. And I guess that's pretty much it. Remember, you can always email me your own comments, unclethursday@gmail.com. And, yeah. We'll see how things go. If I get this new job, it'll be better for me. Be able to get my television fixed and actually play video games on that. You know, that sort of wonderful, fun stuff. And get my domain name and, you know, get everything working. I can try to get my friend, who's a web designer, to help me design a nice, clean site. But that is still going to, you know, catch your eye, that sort of stuff, and hopefully not take forever to load like the fucking Blogspot page can do. So we're going pretty long here. Hour and a half, Jesus. So yeah, I'm gonna let you guys go. I will leave little messages on my blog if this interview is going to be taking place, and about when it can be expected if that happens. So, leave me some reviews on iTunes, visit the forums, email me, whatever, leave comments on the blog. I will talk to you guys later. I'm Sam. I've been up for fucking 22 hours, and you can tell. I'll talk to you later.